Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon.
Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for showing up today. I had questions as to whether or not I could, but I appreciate the opportunity to get up here. It doesn't come very often, but there's some things that have been on my heart, and I hope I can go and get them across today. Today I want to talk about advancing in adversity. Adversity is something that affects each and every one of us. Am I ringing? Okay. Paul is probably one of our biggest examples of bearing up under adversity. It's something that affects each and every one of us. So many times we don't go and... I still feel like I'm ringing. So... one of the things that each of us deal with is adversity. We don't like to tell people about it. We like to bear it ourselves because we've been raised that, especially as a young man, that you go and take care of things yourself, that you don't have to lean on everybody. But as Christians, I think we need to understand that we need to go and bear up for each other. We need to be there for each other. The song, "Jesus is Coming Soon," begins with the first line of "Troublesome times are here." Well, they're all around us. Let's see what I'm doing here. Are both mics on, or is that better? I think we got it there. All right. The song, "Jesus is Coming Soon," the first line, it says that troublesome times are here. That's what the life or the time that we live in right now. This is a troublesome time. There are things besetting Christians at every turn. We're faced with homosexuality being an accepted norm today. We're still persecuted for our beliefs because people don't think that it's cool to go and be a Christian. Job said over in Job 14, he said, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." There are so many things that will come in a hurry upon you. It can be pain, loneliness, suffering, struggles, death, sickness, tears. At every turn, there's something that can come upon us. The way for us to alleviate that and to get through that is to go and look to our Lord. We all face adversity and we experience failures and successes. We need to share both those things with our fellow Christians. We don't want to be known as the one who is constantly complaining, who at every turn something is wrong with us. We want to go and share the successes in our life also. And there will be many as a Christian. The day that you're baptized is a great day. That's a successful day for your parents. It's a successful day for you. And it's a day that our Lord rejoices in. So it's important that we go and understand when we have successes that they are important to so many people. Over in James chapter 1 verses 2 and up, we learn, can't go and spit it out here. We have to learn to bear up under adversity though. There it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Christ gives us the keys to peace. If we just go and open our hearts, apply ourselves, and take His word and use it in our lives, that's the thing that we need to go and understand. There are two important principles that are also things about here. The first one is that trials will come to us. We need to learn to face those, be prepared for them, and accept them when they come before us. We need to understand that trials will come in assorted shapes and sizes. They can be extreme, they can be little, but sometimes those little ones build up, and those are the ones that bring us down. Said life is like a box of chocolates. That's the quote from the Forrest Gump movie. That's what his mama told him. We never know what we're going to get until we bite into it. And so that's the thing. And so many of us who are of older years, we're not exactly where we thought we'd be at this time. Some of us have been very successful and are exactly where we think we ought to be. But there are many of us who have had some problems or had some adversities that have come before them. Synonyms of adversity can be the death of a loved one. Many of us have faced that. All of us will face it at some time. I know when I was younger, I was fortunate, and I don't think I had anybody in my family die until I was probably 20 years old. But it's something that each of us will face. There's persecution. I had to watch my son as he practiced football, and I promise I wouldn't use family references here, so I've broken my first rule already here. But in watching my son practice football, practice very hard and earn a starting position, he would lose it because he wouldn't practice on Sundays. He would lose that position. He'd earn it back before the next Friday. But those are things that is persecution. That's something that we all struggle with. And what happens is persecution is the devil's handiwork. He's trying to put stumbling blocks before us that will cause us to make a decision other than serving God. And that's one of the things that we've got to look at. The hard times, loneliness, you know, sometimes we move off, sometimes our job fails, sometimes we have back pains, we have foot pains, we break a leg, we break an arm. We may even fall off a ladder. Crazy thing to try, but these are all things that beset all of us. And so it's important that we understand that when adversity comes, it can come quickly and unannounced. And that's the thing that we've got to go and be prepared. Adversity takes away the future from the present. And what I mean by that is it causes us to stop thinking about tomorrow and the blessings that are coming, and deal with the pain and the things that are here today, and causes us to go and lose that hope that we have that's within each of us. And that's why it's important. Christians can become depressed, but Christians get over that, and they do it with help from their brethren. Adversity doesn't stop because we're Christian. But Jesus gives us the guidance to bear up under adversity. Paul faced adversity and overcame adversity. If you look in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 4 and 5, he says, I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. Our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. If you think about that statement right there, he's troubled from the outside and from within. He doesn't know what tomorrow brings, but it's his faith that will go and carry him through that. If you look at the sufferings that he suffered, you know, he had boat wrecks, long journeys, he was hungry, he was cold, he had people robbing him, had animals trying to kill him, had disappointments. You think about the times that he preached the gospel and taught somebody sincerely, working to go and convert them there, and it comes for naught. Those people choose to go and stay in this world or to serve the Lord of this world rather than serving God. The rejection has to be innumerous. I think preachers, I admire their ability to go and stand up and preach every Sunday and not go and have people coming forward every Sunday. And I don't mean confessing sins as much as people who have not heard the gospel before choosing not to go and serve our God, to go and put on Christ. It's hard not to take that personal. And I really am impressed with how preachers can get up and do that day in, week in, over and over and over again, and not go and get discouraged by it. The conflicts in the church, we've experienced that here in the past, where we have a group who lets their own desires overtake what is good for the church. And so it's important for us to understand that this adversity is something that we don't need. If you let your own desires come before what the church needs, what Jesus Christ needs, or what God has asked us to do, then you are hurting everybody. Few of us will ever taste the same amount of adversity as Paul. Some of you may think I've tasted more than Paul. It's important for us to go and understand that if he overcame adversity, we can do it also. What can we learn about bearing up under adversity like Paul did? I put, let's explore 27 key lessons. Really, that's a misprint. It's only seven, but I wanted to go and let you know that I do intend to get you out of here before 2 o'clock anyway. So, thought I'd break the ice a little bit there. Adversity draws us closer to or further away from God. It's our choice. When something comes up, we can let it go and drive us away, drive a wedge between us and our fellow Christians, or we can go and cause us to lean upon each other and lean upon our God, get closer. If you remember over in the book of Job, Job's wife said, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." That was the decision of somebody who did not want to go and persevere, who did not want to go through this, did not want to watch her husband go through it. Job's response is, "Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we never accept adversity?" In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. When we are faced with adversity, that's the choice we make. We can go and trouble God, or we can glorify God. And it's important for us to go and understand the difference there. Paul's response to five types of adversity, he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Think about that. Do we count our trials and tribulations as something to glorify God? Or do we go and turn it inward and think, it's me, woe is me, I'm suffering at this? Many of us show our lack of faith by questioning God. The questions come up, why me? Why did God allow that? Why now? What did I do to deserve this? Why does God not answer my prayers? Again, that's a lack of faith. It's us turning away from God when we do that. When we're questioning our God, who are we to question God? The fact is, God uses adversity to strengthen us, and we need to go and accept that and learn to go and work with that. The bottom line is, our attitude and our level of faithfulness is directly linked to how we respond. It's important that we accept this. We all know this. I don't think there's a person here who wouldn't accept the fact that God measures us by our attitude and our desire to serve him. But yet, sometimes we go and turn away from that. We don't go and do it. Adversity is going to bother us. Adversity hurts. It hurt and bothered Paul. In 2 Corinthians, he said, "Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." He goes on and says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so we despaired even of life." This is one of the apostles who's talking about how troubled he was because of the circumstances that he found himself in. We all think that our circumstances are the worst for anybody. Now, maybe we don't really think that in actuality, but when it's upon us, we are all struggling, it's hard for us not to go and think that it's worse. When adversity is before us, we may feel like quitting and giving up. But we don't. We may say that we can't take it anymore. But we can. We may think about ending our life. But we don't. All these things hurt and will challenge every fiber of our being, but we hang on by the thread of faith. Our faith is key. That's why we must constantly be working to increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans 10, We got to read this, we got to memorize it, and we've got to go and apply it so that when Satan is at our doorstep, we can turn him away with the Word of God. Bottom line again, flesh wounds will heal. When we're knocked down, we're not out. Adversity is going to be painful, and we know it. But overcoming adversity is based on a solid foundation. The foundation of our faith is built on either sand or solid rock. Jesus told us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, he said, "Therefore, whosoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended on the flood, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. So when the rains descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, it will fall. And great was its fall." That's where our choices lie. We've got to build up our faith and build it up in the Word of God. Adversity is like stormy weather beating against our houses. All the wise and the foolish are going to face the storms of life. So it's coming. We need to prepare for it, and we need to be ready to do it. Going on, Paul's foundation of faith was solidly built on Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, he says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's one that we all know intellectually, but do we go and live it? When the trials come, do we turn to Jesus, or do we run away with it and think that we can deal with it? We're going to do it, because that's where the crack in our armor comes. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Again, it's Jesus Christ that's the answer. In Philippians, the 1st chapter, he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That takes a very courageous person to go and live that. We can know it through our intellect, but again, to go and make that choice, it's important for us to go and do it. But Paul's faith was in Jesus Christ and nothing else. He didn't count the things of this world. He didn't worry about where he was going to eat or sleep tomorrow. He didn't worry about any of those things. If we have a solid foundation of faith based on Jesus, then we can weather the storms of life. We need to understand that adversity is momentary. When faced with adversity, we must see the big picture. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly weight of eternal glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. I can't help but think of Brother Dwayne Laws when I go and look at these things. He used to tell us or remind us about putting on that new man and living with that new man. That when we would do that, that we would be able to go and endure. And I think that's one of the things that we sometimes struggle with, because we want to go and hang on to this world. But we've got to put on Christ. We've got to keep adversity in perspective. Adversity in this life is a temporary situation. But we have the keys to the kingdom if we will go and look for them. We've got to remember, death is not the end, but the beginning of life. By faith, look at the big picture. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Where we struggle is when we are looking all around us and looking at the problems that beset us, and we have forgotten what Jesus Christ has done for us. Adversity builds character. We must know that adversity will build perseverance. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, that's one of the things that I struggle with sometimes, because of the testing of me at times, I become very impatient. And so it's important for us to go and learn to stop and think before we act. understand that patience is a virtue that God bestows upon us, but we've got to go and make it come. We've all heard the statement that what doesn't kill you makes you strong. Understand that God said that His grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said that, and I think it's important for us to go and have that in our heart so that when it is before us, that we understand that God is working for us, not against us, when these things come before us. Adversity is God's classroom. It teaches us the right priorities in life. It's said that sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better, in the book of Ecclesiastes. I press on toward the goal for the prize, over in Philippians. There's nothing worse than a life filled with adversity from which no good ever comes from. Take these things that are before you. Sometimes the trials that you have faced because God wants you to be prepared to go and help someone else through it. Sometimes the trials that you have are there to just improve your character. But the understanding that we have to have is that God is with us and that He is trying to go and help us do that. Adversity. Why didn't that go on? This is not going to be good if it stops here. Still have 28 more things to go. Well, the next one talks about humility. Adversity will teach you humility because it teaches you that you're not in control of everything. God wants us to understand that this world is His, that we are here to glorify Him. And to do this, we have to go and become humble. We talk about the humility in our children, and I think when we see it, it really... I think it can have two reactions. It can cause us to go and think that they're weak, which is wrong, and we shouldn't do that. But when we see a child go and make a right decision, when he humbles himself in order to avoid conflict, that's what God is trying to teach us. And that's why He gives us children, I think. That's why we have to learn to become like children, so that we will have that humble spirit, so that we will learn to accept what is before us, the things that we can't change, so that we won't go and still trying to figure out why I'm not coming. See if we can restart here. There we go. Again, the dependence upon God and not ourselves is a key thing that we've got to learn. And it's something that is so difficult at times because we are taught from a young child to learn to do things ourselves. But that's not God's way. God wants us to go and learn to lean upon each other, wants us to lean upon Him. Some of us lack that character. Some of us want to quit. Some of us want to get mad. Some of us go and just do so many different things other than what God would require of us. But overcoming adversity is all about character, which is learned from the school of hard knocks. We've got to learn to allow ourselves to be helped. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The point here was that it wasn't exactly what he wanted to do, but God allowed him to, or God stood with him and gave him the strength to go and preach to the Gentiles. It was something that would cause persecution from his fellow Jews who did not think that the Gentiles were worthy of any of God's favor. But that is one of the things that we do when we have to choose to serve God, is to go and do what's right. God is aware of our suffering, okay? He provides comfort to us. The comfort comes in a lot of different ways. It may be, well, in Exodus he says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard of their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. We must never forget that God is with us and that he understands the sorrow that we may be experiencing. We've got to understand that he may send an answer that we don't, may not be the one that we want at the time. But I think that's one of the things that we've got to go and understand. The Father of mercies and all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter again. God may go and send our brethren to help us. That's probably one of the hardest things as a Christian, is to confide in somebody else of our sin, of our struggles. You know, when my business collapsed, it was a difficult thing to come and tell my wife. It was a hard thing to let and know that people knew that I had failed at that. But I received a lot of encouragement from my brethren. It was that that allowed me to go and come through it. And I think it's important for us to understand that God is with us at those times. But we have to understand that God is in control. And I'm not saying God caused my business to fail. I'm saying that God got me through it when it presented itself to me. God offers comfort and help in several different ways. It can come from study and prayer. One of the biggest beneficiaries of me presenting this lesson today is myself, because I studied, I prayed over this a lot more than I usually do. And that's a bad thing to say, but it does cause you to stop and to study. One of the hardest things I did was trying to choose a topic. There are so many things that affect me on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, watching my fellow Christians suffer, watching the troubles that I struggle with at times. There's so many things that we could have, where this lesson could have gone, but it's very hard sometimes just to narrow it down to one. But if we come back and focus on God's Word and study His Word, the answers will go and present itself to you. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, he tells us, therefore comfort one another with these words. And that's the Word of God. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me in Acts. What that's saying is that the Word of God is truth. What is in here is going to happen. I believe it wholeheartedly. I know you believe it wholeheartedly. It's accepting that and relying on that when we are struggling. So cast our care upon Him, because He cares for us. And that's the thing we've got to do. The bottom line here is that we are comforted to comfort others. As I said before, the struggles we face, we may be facing in order to help somebody else. Doesn't sound like it's fair. But God calls upon us to go and love Him and have faith in Him. And when the time comes, try and help your brother. Try and help your sister who is struggling. You know, when we have family members who are injured in accidents, when we have the loss of a loved one, you who have suffered through that need to go and help that person as they are trying to struggle through it. Tell them what helped you. Go and share with them the gospel that has given you that strength. That song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love, we've got to practice that. We've got to go and live it on a daily basis. And that's one of the things that I really implore to each of us, is to go and get to know each other. Be kind to each other. Go and love each other as you would love yourself. That's one of the commandments that God has given us. And if we do that, then it will be easier to share these things with each other. It will be easier to go and help one another. We've got to maintain a conqueror's attitude. Paul suffered much, but he remained faithful in overcoming adversity. We've got to remember from Romans 8, God's love transcends all adversity. There in Romans 8, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. If we hang on to that verse, that will get us through so many things. If God is before us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who is condemned? Who condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And again, it is Christ that is the key. We'll walk according to the Spirit. We're going to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. We've got to be led by the Spirit and allow the Spirit to help us in our times of weakness. When we fall, it's because we have wandered away from that Spirit. We've wandered away from God's Word. The Word is there for us to lean upon. Our roots must be deep in Christ. And understand, godly people get depressed, but we do not stay depressed. Christians are conquerors. We are planted in different and difficult places. I don't know your struggles. I would like to. I would like to be of help to you. You don't know everybody else's struggles. There are things that are going on in each of our lives that other people may not know. It's up to you to share that and to lean upon your brethren to get through it. Because if you don't lean upon your brethren, that struggle can break you away from God. And that's the thing that we don't want any of us to do. We've got to go and help each other. And in doing that, so again, understand that our brethren are here to help us. They don't know your situation unless you share it with them. Sometimes you may know something about somebody and think they don't know. Well, you need to go to that person. If you see sin in their life, if you see them struggling with something, go and you take the first step. Help them to get through it, because that's what we're here for, is to build each other up and to help one another with the things of this life. Christians are called to bear up under adversity. My question to you is, how have you responded to adversity? I know you've had it. You've probably overcome it. But have you shared that with somebody? That's one of the things we've got to do. So we've got to either give up or bear up. That's the options. That's what's before us, is to go and help somebody else bear up, ourselves bear up. Because if we give up, we've lost. And Christ is not glorified in that. That's what I came to say today. I hope it helps you as it did me. I want each of you to go and consider if there's anything that you need the prayers of the church for, please come forward. If you haven't put on Christ, I ask you to go and come forward and take advantage of the blessings of Christ. At this time, if you would, let's stand and sing.